Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Well, things are really heating up out there, so let's dive right into this week's podcast. Its title is, For Gold, It's All About Real Interest Rates, Not the Dollar. The Federal Reserve's recent need to supply $100 billion in credit for the overnight repo market underscores the condition of dollar scarcity in the global financial system. This dearth of dollars and its concomitant strength has left most market watchers baffled. Since 2008, the Fed has printed $3.8 trillion with a T of new dollars in an effort to weaken the currency and boost asset prices. One would think the world should now be awash in dollar liquidity. Yet, surprisingly, there is still an insatiable demand for the greenback, leading many to wonder what is causing its strength. And importantly, for us, for precious metal investors, there is a need to understand why this dreaded dollar strength has not served to undermine the bull market for gold. The primary drivers for dollar strength are growth and interest rate differentials. The Federal Reserve was able to raise overnight lending rates to nearly 2.5% and end its QE program before its recent retreat from a hawkish monetary policy. The Fed funds rate now stands at 1.75% to 2%. However, the ECB, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of Japan have negative deposit rates and are both currently engaged in QE. Not only this, but the extra income investors can receive owning a U.S. 10-year Treasury note compared to those of Japan and Germany are 175 and 200 basis points, respectively. In addition, year over year, GDP growth in the EU, European Union, was just 1.4% in Q2 of 2019. And Japan's growth registered a paltry 1.0%. Growth in the U.S. was 2.3% year over year. While that's not earth-shattering, it is still better than our major trading partners. With subpar growth and little hope for improvement on the horizon, the ECB and BOJ have decided to continue on with ZERP and QE in a futile attempt to spur growth. Nevertheless, their economies are still stagnating. Likewise, the U.S. Central Bank is now being forced to lower rates once again. This is primarily due to the strengthening dollar, which is hurting foreign holders of U.S. dollar-denominated debt, of which there is a lot, and I mean a lot. The BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, estimates that foreign U.S. dollar-based debt now exceeds $11.5 trillion. Foreign dollar-denominated debt, $11.5 trillion. Boy, that's a lot. A rising U.S. dollar puts further stress on these dollar-based foreign loans and makes them harder to service. In effect, this creates a squeeze on dollar shorts. When you add in the Fed's burning of nearly $800 billion worth of QE and base money during its quantitative tightening program, you can clearly see the reasons for the dollar strength. Growth in interest rate differentials and the dollar destruction that occurred during QT are the primary reasons for a strong dollar. But those who believed the U.S. dollar would increase its buying power against gold have been dead wrong, as well as those people who believed that the dollar would be toast. They've been dead wrong. This is because the primary driver behind the dollar price of gold is the direction of real interest rates. Therefore, it is imperative not to measure the U.S. dollar's real strength by measuring it against other flawed fiat currencies that are backed by even more reckless central banks. Instead, the genuine value of the dollar should be weighed against real money. And what is real money? Gold. Conventional wisdom would tell you that the dollar and gold have a reciprocal relationship. And that's sometimes, you know, it's often the case. When the dollar decreases in value, gold increases and vice versa. However, recently, the dollar and gold have been strengthening in tandem. Just look at a chart. You can pull up a chart in the final commentary, you'll probably see it, of the dollar index versus gold. They've both been rising pretty strongly this year. Again, the primary driver of gold isn't the direction of the dollar, but the direction of real interest rates. Hence, if U.S. growth is accelerating in a non-inflationary environment, gold should suffer regardless of the direction of the U.S. dollar. Conversely, the U.S. dollar can be in a bull market against a basket of fiat currencies, and it has been for the past year, and yet can still lose significant ground against gold as long as nominal interest rates are falling in an environment of rising inflation. The year-over-year change in core CPI in August was 2.4%. So the year-over-year change in core CPI increased 2.4% in August, which was the highest level in a year. All the while, the U.S. 10-year note yield was crashing from nearly 3% to 1.6% over the past 12 months. Therefore, calculation is simple. Real yields have been crashing as gold has been rising. These falling real yields were rocket fuel for gold, and this was in spite of the U.S. dollar's bull market against the euro and the yen. The price of gold increased by double digits, even though the dollar index has also increased by nearly 5% in the last 12 months. But still, for those of us who love gold, it can be a love-hate relationship. It is still down 20% from the high made all the way back in 2011, and the mining shares have crashed by 60%, underscoring the need to know, and I pride myself in knowing, how to trade the cycles of this sector. I don't get it always right, but I get it more right than wrong, and I certainly don't ride the gold market down to, you know, where it was down 85% in the miners. I plan on owning it when it's in a bull market, and the mining shares when it's in a massive bull market, which is coming. It's coming. It's just not at this second. The questions for gold investors now are, because we, by the way, we profited, our investors know, we've owned gold in a big way, 20% allocation for about a year and made a lot of money doing it. The questions for gold investors now, but what now? Or have nominal yields stopped dropping? And what is the direction for the rate of inflation? For the short run, and this is amazing to say this, the answer to that question can be found in the trade talks scheduled for October 10th and 11th. The reason for this is the boy has cried wolf once too often, and it is now time to, as I like to say, poop or get off the pot when it comes to reaching an agreement with China on trade. That's it. No more, we're working on it, we're on the virtually there, the 10-yard line. None of that crap is going to matter anymore. And yes, the boy in the story is Donald Trump. Wall Street and international corporations cannot do business under this cloud of uncertainty any longer, where one day tariffs go up and the next day they are coming down. Since early 2017, investors and the C-suite have dealt with a perpetual series of dizzying trade war escalations and treaties. And just for an example, just this past September, let's just look at September alone. This has been going on since March or April 2017, but let's just look at September. September alone, Donald Trump raised duties on China on the first of the month. Then on the 11th, he announced a list of exemptions to those very same tariffs. Then on the 25th, again, we're still in September, the 25th, he attacked China viciously at his UN speech, quote, saying, quote, "For decades, the international trading system has been easily exploited by nations acting in very bad faith. Let me say that again. I'm sorry. I stuttered. For decades, the international trading system has been easily exploited by nations acting in very bad faith. Not only has China declined to adopt promised reforms, it has embraced an economic model dependent on massive market barriers, heavy state subsidies, currency manipulation, product dumping, forced technology transfers, and the theft of intellectual property and also trade secrets on a grand scale. Close quote. Close quote. The very next day, and this is true. The very next day, Trump said that a deal with China could come, quote, much sooner than most think, close quote. Then, on September 25th, Bloomberg reported that the White House threatened to ban the listing of Chinese companies on U.S. exchanges. Businesses simply cannot adequately plan capital expenditures under such unstable circumstances. The U.S. and China meet on October 10th and 11th to decide the future of trade between the two nations. Tariffs are set to increase on October 15th on $250 billion worth of goods, of Chinese goods, to 30% from 25%. There is no appetite on Wall Street for the continued ambiguity of this trade war any longer. Therefore, on October 11th, I expect President Trump to announce the most wonderful trade deal has occurred since we purchased Manhattan from the Indians. Such an announcement could provide a temporary boost in the major averages and could also cause a sharp sell-off in gold. This is because such a deal should put a temporary hold on the Fed's rate cutting cycle. The Fed's broken models have caused it to fail to grasp, absolutely and completely fail to grasp the debt-disabled conditions of the developed world economies. Absolutely, complete, utter failure. China can no longer boost global GDP because it cannot significantly add to its $40 trillion debt pile without cratering the yuan. Can't do it any longer. Also, fiscal and monetary policies are already extremely stretched and are unable to easily pull the economy out of its malaise. The U.S. manufacturing economy contracted to the worst level in a decade, last month. No exaggeration. The ISM reading fell to 47.8, significant contraction in September, and indicates the global manufacturing recession is intensifying. Global growth is faltering, and U.S. GDP growth has shrunk from over 4% last year to under 2% in Q3, according to the Atlanta Fed. The most important part of the yield curve remains inverted. There is illiquidity in the repo market. Washington, D.C. is in utter turmoil, and there will be no fiscal stimulus package enacted until at least 2021. The Q3 earnings report card is about to arrive, and it will receive an F. And global central banks are virtually out of ammo. They're out of bullets. Meanwhile, the stock market sits at an all-time record high valuation. The Dow lost 1,000 points in the last 2 days. But I think that all can be reversed violently on the announcement of a trade deal on next Friday, a week from today. I would pay very close, I will pay very close attention to the ISM service sector report coming out at 10 o'clock tomorrow. If that shows weakness, I will reinstitute some hedges that I took off for this wonderful incredible, huge, amazing trade deal that's going to be announced on Friday. I have no choice but to put him back on. Of course, if the ISM service sector comes out strong, then there'll be no need to put any hedges on. The positions we currently have will rebound violently, in my opinion, violently. But the pressure is on Mr. Trump, and the pressure on Mr. Trump is immense. It's immense now. A trade deal must be reached in a matter of days that abrogates future tariffs and rescinds most, if not all, existing duties on China. Any other type of agreement will not be nearly enough to turn the global economy around or fool Wall Street into thinking that it will any longer. The sad truth is, even a comprehensive trade deal won't fix the massive debt and asset bubble imbalances that are set to implode.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.